Welcome to the IBCLC Mentor Podcast. Whether you're an aspiring IBCLC, a new lactation consultant, or a seasoned professional, continued learning is essential for staying up to date and providing evidence-based care. I'll bring you expert interviews, research recaps, and case studies to help you refine your skills and elevate your practice. No matter where you are in your IBCLC journey, this podcast is for you. Welcome to the IBCLC Mentor Podcast. I'm Margaret Salty, your host, and this is the Research Recap, where I review some of the articles that show up in my inbox from Google Scholar Alerts. The first paper I want to talk about today is titled, How Human Milk Shapes the Gut Microbiota in Preterm Infants, Potential for Optimizing Early Life Microbial Development. This research analyzed microbial sharing between human milk and the gut microbiota of preterm very low birth weight infants. Data from 94 mother-infant dyads and 422 milk stool pairs revealed key patterns of microbial transfer and the factors influencing gut colonization. The study emphasized how feeding practices and antibiotic exposure impact the infant gut microbiota during critical early development. Here's what they found. Breastfed preterm infants exhibited 35% microbial sharing between milk and stool microbiota, a rate comparable to term infants. Direct breastfeeding was associated with higher microbial diversity and better microbial sharing compared to other feeding methods. Infants receiving pasteurized donor human milk or formula had reduced microbial diversity, emphasizing the unique role of maternal milk. Antibiotic exposure reduced microbial diversity and interfered with beneficial microbial sharing between mother and infant. Key genera like Streptococcus from milk were linked to gut colonization with dose-response relationships, highlighting the importance of milk intake volume. So why does this matter for us as IBCLCs? This study underscores the critical role of IBCLCs in supporting preterm infants and their families. We should promote direct breastfeeding. Direct breastfeeding provides not only nutrition, but also vital microbial benefits, particularly for very low birth weight infants and NICUs. We should advocate for human milk, emphasizing the benefits of maternal milk over pasteurized donor human milk or formula ensures optimal gut health and reduces the risk of dysbiosis. We should aim for minimizing antibiotic use. We should advocate for minimizing antibiotic use, collaborating with healthcare teams to minimize unnecessary antibiotic exposure can protect microbial diversity. And we need to educate families. Parents should understand the value of microbial sharing through breastfeeding and how it contributes to their infant's long-term health. Here are some practical applications. In the NICU, we can advocate for direct breastfeeding or maternal milk use as the first choice for preterm infants. We can educate families about the benefits of maternal milk for gut health and strategies for overcoming challenges in milk supply. We can work with neonatologists and NICU staff to promote practices that enhance microbial sharing and minimize disruptions to the infant gut microbiome. And we can support ongoing studies in maternal milk microbiota and its impact on infant health to further refine best practices. This study highlights the incredible potential of maternal milk to shape the gut microbiota and improve outcomes for preterm infants. As lactation consultants, we play a vital role in ensuring these vulnerable infants receive the best start in life. The next paper I want to talk about today is titled Microbial Adaptation in Human Milk, Unraveling the Effects of Gestational Age and Lactation Stage Among Indian Mothers. This longitudinal study analyzed breast milk samples from 30 mothers in India, categorizing by gestational age, meaning less than 32 weeks, 32 to 36 and 6/7 weeks, or more than 37 weeks. Milk samples were collected at three stages of lactation: colostrum, transitional milk, and mature milk. Researchers used advanced techniques and RNA sequencing to identify the microbial composition. Here's what the researchers found. The diversity of bacteria increased with advancing lactation stage and gestational age. Preterm milk had lower levels of beneficial bacteria, such as Bacillota and Actinobacteria. Preterm milk had lower levels of beneficial bacteria compared to term milk. Four major bacterial phyla were identified: Firmicutes, Proteobacteria, Bacillota, and Actinobacteria. Preterm milk showed a higher proportion of proteobacteria associated with bacterial dysbiosis, while term milk had more beneficial bacteria strains. Colostrum was dominated by Firmicutes, but as lactation advanced, the proportion of Bacillota and Actinobacteria increased, enhancing the milk's microbial diversity. So why does this research matter for us as lactation consultants? It offers actionable insights for us. Preterm milk's lower bacterial diversity highlights the need for targeted probiotic supplementation or donor milk to protect against conditions like necrotizing enterocolitis. The increased microbial diversity in mature milk underscores the importance of sustained breastfeeding for infant gut health. Helping mothers express milk early can optimize bacterial diversity, particularly for preterm infants. Families benefit from understanding the critical role of breast milk's microbiome in shaping lifelong health outcomes. Here are some practical takeaways. We should recommend or advocate for probiotic supplementation in NICUs, especially in preterm infants. We should encourage sustained breastfeeding beyond the neonatal period to maximize microbial benefits. We should guide mothers on expressing colostrum and early milk to enhance infant health outcomes. And we should advocate for further studies on regional variations in breast milk microbiota to improve global lactation practices. This study reaffirms the importance of breast milk in shaping infant health through its microbiome. As lactation consultants, we have the tools to support families in optimizing this natural resource for babies' well-being. The next paper I want to talk about is titled Obstetric Outcomes in Breastfeeding Women in the First Hour of Delivery Before and During the COVID-19 Pandemic. This cross-sectional study analyzed data from two cohorts in Brazil, one from 2011 to 2012 and one from 2020. Researchers compared breastfeeding initiation practices among 1,729 postpartum women to evaluate how pandemic-related changes in healthcare impacted breastfeeding outcomes. Here's what the researchers found. Pre-pandemic, 60.3% of women breastfed within the first hour. During the pandemic, this increased to 66.7%. despite significant barriers introduced by the pandemic. Vaginal delivery and lack of clinical complications were associated with higher breastfeeding rates. Cesarean deliveries, low birth weight, and neonatal complications reduced breastfeeding likelihood. Women with suspected or confirmed SARS-CoV-2 infection experienced lower breastfeeding initiation rates. Pandemic-related disruptions, including reduced prenatal consultations, altered delivery protocols, negatively affecting outcomes. Fewer than seven prenatal visits significantly reduced breastfeeding initiation rates, emphasizing the importance of comprehensive prenatal education and support. So why does this matter for us as lactation consultants? This study highlights several actionable insights for lactation consultants. Comprehensive prenatal care is crucial for improving breastfeeding outcomes, especially in vulnerable populations. Encouraging skin-to-skin contact and breastfeeding initiation within the first hour remains vital even during crises. Mothers undergoing cesarean sections require targeted interventions to overcome challenges to early breastfeeding. The pandemic showcased the resilience of some healthcare practices while exposing gaps that IBCLCs can help to address through advocacy and innovation. Here are some practical applications of this evidence. We should encourage hospital teams to prioritize these practices even during challenging circumstances. We should work with prenatal care providers to ensure families receive breastfeeding education. We should provide tailored support for families facing cesarean births, low birth weight, or neonatal complications. We should partner with healthcare systems to develop lactation support strategies for emergency preparedness. This study emphasizes the importance of adapting lactation support to ensure families have the resources they need, even during global crises. By integrating these findings into our practice, IBCLCs can make a meaningful difference in breastfeeding outcomes. The final paper I want to talk about today is titled Ankyloglossia and Breastfeeding Self-Efficacy in Newborns, a Birth Cohort Study. This study examined 88 mother-infant pairs, including 31 newborns with diagnosed or suspected tongue tie and 57 without. Researchers used the Bristol Tongue Assessment Tool to classify ankyloglossia and the breastfeeding self-efficacy shorts form to measure maternal confidence in breastfeeding. Sociodemographic, gestational, and neonatal factors were also analyzed to control for potential confounders. Here's what the researchers found. There were no significant differences in breastfeeding self-efficacy scores between mothers of infants with tongue tie and those without. The average breastfeeding self-efficacy score were comparable across groups, suggesting that ankyloglossia did not negatively impact maternal confidence in breastfeeding. Primiparous mothers reported lower breastfeeding self-efficacy scores compared to multiparous mothers, regardless of tongue tie status. The study emphasizes the importance of addressing non-anatomical factors that may contribute to breastfeeding difficulties. The results challenge the assumptions that tongue tie is a primary driver of early breastfeeding challenges. Researchers recommend a cautious approach to surgical interventions, advocating for comprehensive lactation support as the first line of treatment. So why does this matter for us as lactation consultants? This study highlights critical considerations. First, we should evaluate breastfeeding challenges from multiple angles rather than attributing difficulties solely to tongue tie. We should advocate for multidisciplinary assessment before recommending surgical interventions like frenotomy. We should provide targeted support to primiparous mothers to enhance their breastfeeding confidence and skills. And we should use evidence like this to educate families about the complexity of breastfeeding challenges and the role of non-invasive solutions. Here are some practical takeaways from this evidence. We should focus on optimizing latch, positioning, and maternal confidence before considering frenotomy. We should help parents understand that tongue tie might not always require intervention and that comprehensive lactation support can address many challenges. We should work closely with pediatricians, speech therapists, and other specialists to ensure well-rounded care for breastfeeding dyads. This study reminds us that breastfeeding challenges are multifaceted and that evidence-based care is essential to provide the best outcomes for families. By integrating holistic, non-invasive strategies, we can empower mothers and improve breastfeeding success. Thanks for joining me today on this episode of the Research Recap. I look forward to seeing you next week where I share more research insights. Bye, everybody. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe, and check me out on social media at Margaret Salty.